Well, we've been looking the past several weeks, as you know, at the first half of Ephesians 4. I invite you to turn there. As you've seen, we've been for the past really churches to be about. Of three chapters of text have been extolling the blessings of God that we have in Christ Jesus, and now he's addressing how we, particularly we the church, are to live in response to those blessings. So he tells us we're to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling that we've received, and that walk is to be done in humility and gentleness, with patience, with forbearing with one another in love. We are to be eager to maintain the unity that is a spirit and do that in the bond of peace. And that unity that we are to have together is founded on seven elements, seven foundations. There is the one body, the one spirit, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, there's the one hope, and there's one God and Father over all. And though we have a foundation, we ourselves are also to play a role in manifesting that unity. We have been given grace by our Lord Jesus, who distributes, gives generously to his people, so that all of us, we have the necessary gifts, the necessary power to contribute to the church. But Christ has given to the church individuals, officers, who do play their role. They're the apostles and the prophets who have laid the foundation. They're the evangelists who have spread the gospel, who have started churches. And then they're the pastors and teachers who now shepherd their flock with teaching and care. Now these different types of teachers, all of them, equip us together as a whole church to work together for the building of the body of Christ. Now that goal of building the body is so that we're going to all attain unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. And then as such, as we attain that unity, we arrive at mature manhood. We, each of us, and together as a church, we arise to the level in which we're reaching the measure of becoming like Christ himself. The opposite of that is to remain as children, kind of, you know, tossing to and fro from one doctrine to another, one belief system to another. No, but instead of that, we are to grow up, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in Christ, which brings us to these last two verses of this passage. Look with me at verses 15 and 16. Now again, instead of being like these children, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Now let's break down this long sentence. We begin with rather speaking the truth in love, and last Sunday we covered that phrase. Basically what we just said is that in order for us to grow, well, we must embrace and speak truth to one another. But in order to do that, in order to handle truth correctly, we must do so in love. And then we're told we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now I have to admit that this image here actually throws me off a bit. You know, I tried to picture a body kind of growing up into its head. You know, it kind of gets a little weird trying to think that one through. But what's happening here is that Paul has spoken earlier in verses 12 and 13 about building up the body of Christ to what? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And in what he's saying there, what he's saying here is simply this, that Christ is the one whom we are to aspire to be like. We're not just growing to get bigger, but we're growing to be like our head, Jesus Christ. But even with that in mind, you know, there's that preposition still of into the head. And that forces us to acknowledge that we cannot be like Christ if we're not connected to him. And furthermore, that impacts every aspect of our lives. You know, there's not to be, well, there's our religious part of us when we come to church on Sundays. And then there's a social part and what we do in the week, a career part perhaps. And then there are other parts of our lives. No, it's all together to we are to grow into Jesus in every way. But to put it like this, we can't be one person church, okay, and then we're another from when we go home, and we'll be yet another person tomorrow in school or at a workplace. We're to grow up in every way in Jesus Christ. Now, the next verse, verse 16, where it gets a little tricky here, if we don't follow carefully the grammatical construction of the sentence. And let's put kind of dust off our grammar scales and see how we can look at this. Verses 15 and 16, as you'll notice, in the English Bible there, makes up one long sentence. Actually, if you had your Greek text, you'd realize the sentence began way back in verse 11. So it's our English translation is making it a little easier for us. Now, verse 15, but just back up for a moment. That main clause of the sentence, it reads this way. We, that's the subject of the sentence, we're to grow up. That's the verb or the verb phrase, and we're to grow up into Christ. Now, when Paul comes to that, to Christ, he adds a further thought about being related to Christ. He notes that Christ is the head of the body. And so from the head, he says, the body, well, the body what? That's what we need to get at here. There's this long sentence about Jesus and parts and growing and building. And at first glance, the way I would have always thought it to read would be something more like this. For Paul to say something like, we're to grow into the head, into Christ, from whom... Well, from whom the whole body is held together and grows. So as the head, Christ is the source of life. He gives the direction for the body. He's what makes the body grow. Well, all of that is true. That's what it means for Christ to be the head. Without the body, or without the head, the body has no life. Without the head giving the control signals and causing that energy to pulsate through the body will not grow. And so it is with the church in Christ. Without Christ being our head, the church is lifeless. It cannot function as the body of Christ. But that's not really what verse 16 is driving at. Now again, let's go back to our grammar here. Let's identify the stick, the verb, and the direct object. Now I trust I am warming the heart of any English teacher who may be here this morning. The subject is the body. The verb is makes. Actually, you go further. You've got to get all those phrases down to makes. And the verb actually to grow, or literally, way you read in the Greek is makes the body increaseth. It makes increasing of the body. Okay. So the whole body makes the body grow. That's what the sentence is in verse 16. Now, does Christ make the body grow? Well, yes. He's the head from whom the body grows. Does this Holy Spirit make the body grow? Well, yes, again. We're told back in chapter 2, verse 22, that we're built together by the Spirit. But the point being made here is that this growth is worked out through the body, functioning in such a way that the body is making the body grow. Now let's break this down. Again, this long sentence. Let's go back here to from whom the whole body. Now note here, it's the whole body. It's not part of the body. It's not certain parts of the body. Like maybe it's the pastors or the elders. It's the whole body is involved in this work. And the whole body is furthermore is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Now, other translations have something like this. They'll say, by every joint which supplies. You get the difference? In one way, it's saying, by every joint with which the body has. And the other way of looking at it is, by every joint which does that work of supplying needed for the body. I think you can see that really matter either way that you want to train it. Every joint is what body is equipped with, and every joint is needed to supply what is needed for the body. Every part has a role to play. Now look at the next phrase here, where it says, when each part is working properly. Now again, we can read this in a couple of ways. We can keep the focus on the initiative of each body member to do the work assigned to it. So when everybody is doing their work, kind of just as it says here, in a proper manner. Or we could go back to the head of the body and think of that power that Jesus Christ gives to each part to do its work. So that it reads something like this, according to the power given to each part. I mean, if you look back at verse 7, note there where it speaks of the grace given to us, to each one of us, according to the measure of Christ's gift. There again, it's speaking there of Christ as the one who gives to us what we need. Well, whatever we choose, I think you'll see that both truths are evident. The body works according to the power given by the head, and every part then does that work given to it. And all of this is for the purpose so that the body makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. What's being said here is that we are made members of the body of Christ, and now that we are members, each one of us has a role to play in building up the body that we belong to. And the operating dynamic that is pulsating through the body is love. Okay? This is what we have been called to do. This is that great calling back in verse 1, speak. It is to build up the body of Christ. Again, the manner in which we do that build up is through humility and gentleness and forbearance, and the foundation that we're to build on are those seven pillars that were spoken of. And we have each been given grace then to do our part, and that grace is given by our head, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord is given for his body, the church, again, service to lay that foundation, to equip us, to do that obligation that we have to build up the body of Christ. And our goal is to get unity of faith, of the knowledge of Christ, to reach maturity, to be like Christ. We're not to remain just kind of keep going back and forth on what we believe, but rather seeing the truth in love. We are to grow in Christ who is our head, and then in that manner we're to help make each other, make this whole church grow into the body of Christ in love. That's what this passage has been about, verses 1 through 16. Well then, we need to take a look at this then. This is the description of what a church is to be like. Well, how is our church doing? Well, let's take a little bit of time to look at that in light of what's been said to us. You know, in that area of teaching the fundamentals of faith, you know, those seven elements that hold and being given to do them all. Well, actually, we do pretty well in that. I mean, those of you who were here 4 years ago, you may remember we actually did a spiritual health survey trying to gauge how the congregation are doing. And one of the areas was that of doctrine, and we asked several questions, kind of how to apply the doctrine in a certain way to see if our people understood the basic fundamentals of the faith and could apply them. You did great. You scored in the high 90s, everybody agreeing with each other and Amelia doctrine, and had that down. I mean, we evidently from this survey, we all know that God is sovereign. We know that we're sinners and we need the saving work of Christ. That's what we trust in. We know that in Christ alone, we're accepted by God. We trust the Word of God to be true. And however much we may stumble in our Christian walk, it's not really because we don't know the essentials of the faith. And I think we'd agree that we've had good teachers who have taught these truths well, done it so well, well, that we've come to rely more on good teaching than the actual teachers out. And so when beloved and respected pastors are no longer with us, think of James Boyce, of course, and Phil Ryken, but also think of Rick Phillips, and think of Aaron Mesner, those men who stayed with me. Well, when they're gone, continue. As long as faithful gene of God's Word continues, that's what draws us here. Now, that's a healthy sign for a church. Now, there's another area here, and that is the manner of our walk. It was expressed back in verse 2 and 3. Well, that's a bit trickier to measure. Now, who here is ready to say you've got humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love? You got all of that down pat. You can rate yourself high on that. I mean, some of us might say that we're eager to maintain unity, but really, the other traits are essential for unity. You know, just how eager are we to keep the peace? Now, as I said, I'm hesitant to rate us in those categories, although if I'm going to speak the whole truth, like I said last week, well, I need to say a word about the elders of our church. I tell you, I've served in other churches. I know the experience of many other ministers of churches. And unfortunately, I can say that an all too common phenomenon is what would be called, well, power struggles. And sometimes the source is out of one or more elders trying to have undue influence over a church. They can pretty much try to run the church themselves. Sometimes the source is jealousy, maybe among elders or maybe among pastors. Sometimes it's just a matter of a character trait like stubbornness or bad temper, and it creates some havoc. Whatever the cause, there can be a fair amount of tension, you know, behind closed doors. Well, I have to reveal that it is a blessing to serve in a church, elders and the pastors, mutual respect for one another. I mean, think about this. Can you imagine the controversies that really could have risen here in this church during this time of transition? I mean, we have our differences among elders and pastors, but what we don't have is our battles. We don't have the scenario that really could have been expected in this church, namely that when the leader of the church is gone, well, that's when the opposing parties in the church fight, you know, for the privilege of filling in that gap. And again, I'll tell you, I cannot express what a blessing it is, not only to sit with such elders, but with such deacons and deaconesses, and with staff who stay the course because to a degree that they will not admit of for themselves, they really do serve in humility and in forbearance and love as servants of the church. I tell you what, since I'm on a roll here, I'll even give you credit. I mean, let's be honest here. We as a church, we've taken our share of blows this year. I know in January you were expecting someone a bit taller standing in this, but in September. We've had our struggles as any congregation. The economy was, and it still is, taking a toll on us. You know, we've had all these great capital campaign projects, and they are wonderful to have, but raising the funds, which still are not complete, adjusting to all of the construction, it can get tiring. And it was, you know, it was great to be starting another daughter church we've done in South Philadelphia, but there are emotional costs involved to that work. There still have been plans that have not been realized, but you know, at least then in January, we knew our senior minister was going to be around. But now that's been taken from us. And it would be understandable if the past few months had been marked by division, by controversy. It would not have been surprising for sizable numbers of people to leave. But I think the new church attenders would attest to this, that they would not know that there's been a great loss inflicted upon us. They wouldn't be aware of it. Now, why? Well, I think it has to do with our steadfast confidence in those doctrines that I just spoke about in the fundamentals of the faith. But it does indicate that there is some measure of humility and patience and eagerness for unity. I mean, we have to give the Holy Spirit His due. He must be doing some kind of work here among us in this area. And then there's this area that we're looking at in these particularly last two verses of each part working properly. Now, we were told back again in verse that each one of us was given grace to part in the body of Christ. That grace was given to the measure of Christ's gift, and when we looked at that verse, we noticed He is a very generous giver. Then we're told in verse 12 that we all have a role to play in the ministry of the church. And now our verses make clear that it takes the whole body, that each part of the body has to do its work to have healthy growth. So how are we doing? How are we doing in this area of everybody pitching in to do their part? Well, I would say we do okay. But, well, before I go through that, let me follow again my own rules about speaking the truth to love. As the executive minister of this church, I think I can safely say that I probably have the best perspective of the breadth of ministry that takes place in this building up the body. And I know that there are many people in this church who labor tirelessly for this of Christ's body. There are many wonderful works taking place because of dedicated brothers and sisters who are doing all sorts of ministry. And a great challenge for me, actually, is just simply keeping track of what all is going on. Now, I might reasonably ask, or someone might reasonably ask this, look, in a church like this, and there are so many people doing their part, does it really matter if every soul member of the body does its part? Does it really matter if I do my part? You know, it's being in a small church, you know, everyone's role, you know, it does matter. Well, I've served in small churches. I mean, before I came here, my churches were 35 to 50 members. And I would say that participation actually is more necessary by individuals in a large church, such as 10. When I pastored my small churches, I knew everybody. I visited everybody. If you were in the hospital, I was there for you. I knew all of your children. Every visitor that should be greeted by me. In a small church, really, you only need a handful of individuals who can cover everything. You really only need one outgoing person who can make visitors feel welcome and connect them with other people in the church. Now, in a church like ours, visitors can walk in, worship, walk out, never be known, never be greeted. And on the basis of what the individuals around them do, actually this very morning, they will determine by that alone whether we're a warm church or a cold church, whether they will come back or not. In a church like ours, a church member can stop attending for whatever reason and get the message that he or she is never missed. He can be seriously ill. You can face all manner of trials and nobody know. Or those who do know think that, well, somebody else is taking care of that. In a church like ours, precisely because we're so busy doing ministry and doing good ministry, we can fail to keep in touch with our brothers and sisters. R.E.M. is right. Everybody hurts sometimes. And in a large church of 1,500 people, that means a lot of people are hurting at any one time. And no one feels that more than the shepherds of the church, your elders. No one feels less adequate to meet all the needs of the church than they do. There are broken marriages in this church. There are broken families. There are sheep who are straying. There are members who are suffering in many different ways. Now that's to be expected. Christ has not returned. Okay? We have not reached glory. But that is why then every member of the body is needed to build up the body in love. Until Christ returns, we are needed to represent Him to one another, to represent our head. We're needed to build up our brothers and sisters in love. Because love cannot work through the body without being given by another human being. The truth cannot be spoken in love if no one speaks. Each individual in this church is needed. People in this church come from all walks of life. Some live on this block, some live an hour away. Some can no longer attend because of their health. Some are very active, and they have lots of support. Some have never made a real connection in this church after years of being here. The difference between their despairing and becoming embittered or having their hope and faith renewed is likely to be the effort of one individual reaching out to them. See, this is what you can do. Whatever your gift or your lack of gift, you can make a contact. You can say hello to the person who you're sitting beside. You can pick up the phone and make that call that you've been meaning to make, or send that note that you were planning to send sometime. You could do that. Everyone here, every member of this church can think of somebody right now that you know that you've been meaning to contact. Pursuing. Well, do it. You could be the difference maker. Your call, your visit, or your email, or your text message, or tweeting, or whatever it is that people do now. Do it. Your simple act of friendly connection could be what connects the brother or sister with the body and with the head of Jesus Christ. You're the ones. You're the ones who can make the difference. The elders who feel inadequate to keep connected with everyone. Now, you can't take their places. They're not allowed by their chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, to let go of pastoring their flock. But you can help them. You can have some of the needs of the flock to them. You can connection that they need with people. Indeed, you can be the connection. They cannot do the work here without you. So how are we doing as a church here? We're doing okay. But I don't think okay is what our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants. He wants to see us growing up in every way into Him. He wants to see the light that He pours into us. He wants to see that sucking in us, that we are at work reaching out to one another and building each other up in love. Let's pray. Oh, we thank You, our great God, for our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and as the head who gives us life, who connects us together, who gives us all that we need, is generous in His giving. Well, all the more than our Father, that with which we have been given, may we give to one another and carry out this calling that You have given to us to build each other up, to build up this church in love into Jesus Christ, to reach out to our brothers and sisters. May we be that connection. We may be that friend for them. We give You thanks for our great friend, the one who reached out.